Good morning, everybody.
Let's look at the start. So here we are, this week's parasha, Parshas Bo. One of the mitzvahs in this week's parasha is the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. So we know Korban Pesach is a particular way the Oven to eat it. The Korban Pesach has to be roasted. Right, roasted as opposed to cooked. The normal way it would be done is using a spit over an open fire. Sli'ich. So we'll look at the pasuk. The pasuk tells us, "Al toshlu v'menu lo." There's a command to not eat from it raw, with boshel v'bushel b'mayim, and also not cooked in water. So prohibition to eat it raw, prohibition to eat it cooked. Ki im sli'ich. Only one should partake of it. Only sli'ich, only roasted over the fire. Rosh HaKrovah. Now, the Gemara says regarding this din that it is forbidden to eat the Korban Pesach when it is cooked. If somebody will partake of a cooked Korban Pesach, will be over on this law, on this prohibition. Do not eat from it while cooked. So says the Gemara the following thing. Amar Rav Chisda, Hamavashel B'chamei Tveri B'Shas. Somebody who cooks in the Chamei Tveri. We know we have in Tveria these famous hot springs which spring naturally out from the ground, a natural source of heat. It's not a heat that has its source in fire. It's not an usual average heat. Some other heat source doesn't have its source in fire. And somebody who cooks in the Chamei Tveri, let's say you could take something raw, you could take a raw potato and drop it in the Chamei Tveri, you could hold it there in some sort of kli, and it would cook. Somebody who cooks in the Chamei Tveri on Shabbos, potter. He is potter. It's not an issur d'oraisa to cook in the Chamei Tveri. Why? Because cooking with d'oraisa on Shabbos is cooking in fire or in things that contain the heat of fire. So if you heat it up, a keli on the fire, and then even if you took it off the fire and you put something into the keli, it's also fish, because it's what we call tovos ish. It has its source in fire. But a heat that has its source doesn't even have its source in fire, it's got nothing to do with fire, you're not chayav for shabbos. However, says the Gemara, a pesach shebishloi b'chamei tveri, a pesach which is cooked in chamei tveri, chayav. If you go and eat that Korban Pesach, which was cooked in the Chamei Tveri, then you are chayav. So ask the Gemara on this, what is the difference between Shabbos and Pesach? My Shabbos is Shabbos Deloi. Why are you telling me that it's not called Bishul on Shabbos? The Tovos Eish Bo'ino. Because to be chayav a Bishul on Shabbos, there has to be a Bishul that comes from Eish. So the Gemara, that is the definition of Bishul. That is Bishul in Torah terms, something that comes from Eish, Pesach Nabi, Lav Tovos Eish. Why would it be forbidden to eat a Korban Pesach cooked in Chamei Tveri? It's also not defined as Bishul. The Pasuk says, do not eat through it, Mavushul. And Bishul in Torah terms, you're telling me, is only in Tovos Eish, not in other forms of heat. Says the Gemara, you're quite right. Omar Rabbah. My chayav dikton, when we said that you are chayav for eating a Korban Pesach that was cooked in Chamei Tveri, to ka'ovar mishum sli'esh, we mean that you are over on a different prohibition. There are two separate prohibitions. Do not eat from it cooked, and only eat from it when it is roasted. So you're quite right, says the Gemara. You only transgress the prohibition of eating from it when it is not roasted. As a Pesach when it's cooked in the Chamei Tveri, it's certainly not roasted. It's not sli'esh. So you are oiver on eating from it, not sli'esh. But you are not oiver on eating boshel mavushel. Because you're quite right. Bishul in Torah terms, whether we're talking about Shabbos, whether we're talking about the prohibition of Bishul of Korban Pesach, is Bishul in Todas Eish. Bishul in some other form of Eish, some other form of heat, let's say, is not called Bishul in Torah terms, so it's not Bishul in Shabbos, at least in the day writer, and it's not Bishul as regards the law of cooking a Korban Pesach. So when we talk about cooking a Korban Pesach in Chamei Tveri, you are only over on the prohibition of eating from it, not sli'esh. Bottom line is, it's still not sli'esh. So I'd like to look at a few different angles of this Gemara. The first puzzling point about this Gemara. What do we mean, somebody who cooks according to Pesach in the Chamei Tiberi? Ask the Achronim, how on earth is it possible to cook a Korban Pesach in the Chamei Tiberi? Korban Pesach, obviously, has to be offered in Yerushalayim. Yeah? Not only the practical point of how would you get it to Tiberia so quickly, but furthermore, there's a halakhic angle to this as well, that there is what we call an Isur Yotze, kodshim, that have been taken out of the Gavul that they're meant to be in, become apostle. Now, Korban Pesach is only meant to be eaten in Yerushalayim. So if you're going to pop with your Korban Pesach on Rakevet Yisrael up to Tiberia, to cook it in the Chamei Tiberia, your Korban Pesach is going to be possible. So it isn't possible to cook a Korban Pesach in the Chamei Tiberia.
Surely he's talking about spring water.
So the most poshut answer is to say what you're answering. Let's look first in the Teretz Mima, who says what you're saying. First, he brings the kasha in the first paragraph of the Torah to Mima. He quotes it from the Mari Kohen, it's a pirush at the back of the Gemara. Let's skip to the second paragraph. Tomah, he says, I'm astonished I don't hear this whole question. Shloi hiru, and they did not take note of the fact, they shekosav rashika lefarish haloshen chami tiberia. Indeed, not only is it a great suggestion, but if we'll look in the words of Rashi on this Gemara, somebody who cooks Korban Pesach in the Chamei Tiberia, says Rashi, Mayodo is roischim. Hot springs! That's what Rashi says. Those are the words of Rashi, hot springs. Ashele Choriz, Morim Eilem Yutorim. At first it will appear that these words of Rashi are superfluous.
Boiling, right?
Yeah, boiling. Yeah. Kimi Eilem Yutorim, Shem Chamei Tiberia. Who doesn't know what the Chamei Tiberia is? Everybody knows. Why does Rashi have to tell us? Elo Badai Mechavim Lefarish. Rashi means to say is that hot boiling springs, wherever they are, it's a sort of general, generic term in Chazal to mean natural boiling springs. If you would find such springs somewhere in Yerushalayim and you would cook your Korban Pesach, that's the question. Then in the next paragraph, he goes on to bring a gewaldige raya to this. He says, I'll prove it to you with a raya muchrachas. That when Chazal say Chamei Tiberia, they don't just mean those actual Chamin in Tiberia. They use it as a term for any natural hot springs. Then I'll prove it to you. I have to bring a raya for such a thing. In the third paragraph, the raya machrachas, a clear proof to Rogel Hagemara of the Chamis, Chazal on this roiskin, all boiling springs b'shem Chamei Tiberia. Nerali, me agoda the chayek, da'akuf ches omodav, the Gemara in Sanhedrin da'akuf ches, Omer of Yechonon, there are three things that remain for us from the times of the Mabul. Three hot things. One of them is the Chamei Tiberia. The Chamei Tiberia, they remain from the period of the Mabul. In the period of the Mabul, there were types of hot springs that sprung up from the ground to punish the Rishonim. And from this, the Chamei Tiberia will remain until this day. Because that source of hot water was not closed up.
Don't you see that the Mabul did not affect this?
Exactly. That's exactly what he's going to say. Not only that, it's even stronger. Who is the one who said this? That there are three things that remain from the Mabul. One of them is the Chamei Tiberia that wasn't closed. You know who it is? Who came before? Rabbi Yochanan. It's Rabbi Yochanan. Says Rabbi Yochanan, three things remain from the Mabul. One of them Chamei Tiberia. Who va'atzmo yisvirle? It is Rabbi Yochanan himself, the self same Amoira, who says in Zvochim Dafkuf Yud Gimel to the Yorad Klau Mabul Eretz Yisrael. It's the exact same person. Only a question within Chazal. It's the same person, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says there was no Mabul in Eretz Yisrael. So what is Rabbi Yochanan saying? That the Chamei Tiberia remained for us from the time of the Mabul. There was no Mabul. But Tiberia are in Eretz Yisrael, as we all know. Tiberia is in Eretz Yisrael. They came to the question of Rabbi Yochanan. It's astounding, according to Rabbi Yochanan. My Shayesh in Ishtai with Chamei Tiberia with Dara Mabul. How can you say that Chamei Tiberia remained from the time of the Mabul? Acharei, there was no Mabul in Tiberia. Ella, Korotov, you know what the Territ is. Techami, Tiberia, Havi, Kimu, Bechola, Yomis, Ruizchim, Shebechola, Oyom. Chami, Tiberia doesn't mean those specific chamin that there are in Tiberia. It's a word for hot springs. Hot springs in general. But people, what's Loris? Wherever they are. Yeah, we spoke the other day about the hot springs in Iceland. So the hot springs in Iceland, wherever they are, wherever you'll find hot springs, those ones remain from the Mabul. Just interesting, parenthetically, we're going to have to say that the ones in Tiberia, they're an exception to all other hot springs in the world. They're Mishishis Mibri, they're their own separate type of hot springs, different to all the hot springs anywhere. So that's what would come out. Yeah, well, that's it. Well, what else can we say? Maybe really low love, they also come from the Dora Mabul.
They would have finished, but then because of one of them.
They're replenished from somewhere else or something like that. Oh, yeah, good idea, lots of books. Mm-hmm. We're also going to see now that this isn't such a grand teretz to answer this question. Now, it sounds very good and very potent, and it surely is the Pashtus, but the question is still a bit niggling. Why? It isn't so great to just say to me that when we talk about cooking a carbon Pesach in Chametz Tiberia, it means in natural hot springs in Yerushalayim, if there were to be some. Because the Gemara in Psochin on Daf Ches discusses generally the topic of doing mitzvahs shelo lishma, and it makes the following statement. Tayyot Seboi, a similar idea, Amar Rabbi Dostoy Rabbi Yai. Rabbi Dostoy said in the name of Rabbi Yadai, Mipnei ma ein chamei tiveria b'Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara, why are there not chamei tiveria in Yerushalayim? One answer, because then they wouldn't be chamei tiveria, it would be chamei Yerushalayim. But why are there no chamei tiveria in Yerushalayim? That's the Gemara asks. And the Gemara answers, you know why there are no chamei tiveria in Yerushalayim? Today, Shalom Yehu, earlier the Gemara of Oimrim, if it would be chamei tiveria in Yerushalayim, you know what people would say? When they come up to the regal, they'll say, you know what, we had such a good time there, we went to visit the hot springs, when people would go to the Oyla Regal to Yerushalayim, you know what the reaction and feeling would be, they would say to themselves, oh, we had such a good time in Yerushalayim, we enjoyed those hot springs, just if we had gone just for the hot springs, it would have been worth it. But Nimsa's Aliyah Shaloi Lishma, this would have caused the Aliyah the Regal to be Shaloi Lishma. So for this reason, the Gemara says, Chamei Tiberia are not in Yerushalayim. Now,
you know how many,
first of all, is this poisoning?
I don't know.
We spoke about it in Hilfus Prophets when we were talking about
bake your bread,
boil your bread, whatever you want to put it. Yeah,
it's just opposite the sea, but they have a lot of little springs, you can just go and walk. It's not a
big deal.
You go bath in them, they're just in the ground.
Dip your toes.
Yeah.
There you go. Fine, so now.
This is the big, I haven't been, but this is the big of race. Super cold, and then this one is super hot.
That's a regular spring. Because regular springs are cold. They come from
the mountain. That's all the water from the mountain.
Okay, so now this Gemara would indicate that there are no hot springs in Yerushalayim. If there were not coming there, but there's some other hot springs, so the question still remains. People will still go to Yerushalayim to enjoy the hot springs, whether they're the Chamei Tiberia or some other hot springs, doesn't make a difference. This Gemara indicates that there are no hot springs anywhere in Yerushalayim at all. So having said that, we come back to our question, how is it possible to cook a carbon Pesach in the Chamei Tiberia? So let's look at two other terutzim. One terutz is, the Gemara in Zvokin says as follows, this is the terutz of the Marek Kohen himself. The Marek Kohen answers as follows, says the Gemara in Zvokin, Bol Eloi V'Gibor. In the period when the Mishkan was settled in the places called Loiv and Gibbon, put through our bodies, there were various halachas related to Kodshim which were specific to that period. First of all, it was permitted to offer korbanos on other bombers, on other private mizbechos, Kotche Kodoshim Me'akolim Nifnimin Hakloim. Kotche Kodoshim were eaten only in the Chotzer of that Mishkom. Kotche Kalim, the lower level of Kotche, Kotche Kalim, Bechol Ori Yisrael. In that period, Kotche Kodoshim could be eaten Bechol Ori Yisrael. In all Ori Yisrael, in all cities known to Israel. So, in that period, if you offered a Korban Pesach, Mechoira, you would have been permitted to eat your Korban Pesach in any city of the Ori Yisrael. It wasn't like, from the time the Beit HaMikdash was settled in Yerushalayim and onwards, Kodshim could only be eaten in Yerushalayim and not outside Yerushalayim, and that's it. But in the period that the Mishkan stood in Moed Begivoy, Kodshim Kalim could be eaten in any ear in Yisrael. So if they could be eaten in any ear in Yisrael. So in that period, you could have taken your Korban Pesach to Tavaria, cooked it in the Chametz Tavaria.
Too far, forget. Yeah, okay.
It's too far. So the Gemara talks about something called a Gavla Parcha, a flying camel. So you go on a flying camel and you go to Tavaria. Yeah, you check your Korban Pesach right away after Chatzos on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. You go up to Tavaria from Loiv Begivoy, a couple of hours ride on a flying camel, and you cook it in the Chametz Tavaria. Okay, you can cook it on Yom Tov in the night as well. Korban Pesach is Kodshim Kalim.
Yeah,
parenthetically, I thought that some question is, because in this period of where you were permitted to offer on private mizbechos, so most regular Kodshim Kalim, person wants to bring a private shlomim, other korbanos like that, then a person could bring them on a private mizbeach, wherever he wanted. Korban Pesach is an exception to that general rule. Korban Pesach, although it is Kodshim Kalim, Korban Pesach had to be brought on a Bomach Tzibur. It had to be brought on the public Mizbeach in Loiv Begivoy.
So it just means the blood.
Yeah. So some want to say that this permission to eat Kodshim Kalim wherever you want only refers to those same Kodshim Kalim that could be brought wherever you want. Not so posh that it applies to Korban Pesach, which could only be brought in Loiv Begivoy. Well, then you're going to tell them you can take it wherever you want to eat it. To discuss.
Why is this whole discussion? I thought it has to be roasted.
Yeah, you're right. So, but what we said in the Quran when we started is that there's two separate laws. There's a law of Bishul,
right.
And there's another Issa, not Bishul, it's a law.
Which
is they have to be eaten to the age. So we say that if you cook in the Chametz Tavaria or not over, or eating it before, it's not called before, it's just. And I've heard of key in Tzliyesh, not Tzliyesh. So this Teretz is a Teretz, possibly. It's a little bit disturbing that it comes out that the Gemara is entirely irrelevant to the Halacha Lamaisa after the period of Noiv Begivoy. Even La'osid Lava, the Beis Midrash is going to be rebuilt, there's not going to be a Heter Bomis. The Korbanos are only going to be brought in Yerushalayim, and the Korban Pesach is only going to be eaten in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara is only relevant to that period of history. So Teretz Mima doesn't like that Teretz very much. There's another Teretz suggested by the Egli Tach. This touches on a concept which you might have come across in Hilchos Shabbos. You might have come across this idea that if we take, what is the din? If we have a big pot of chicken soup, let's say, we take a ladle and we put it into the chicken soup and we remove chicken soup. Now we know, generally, when we transfer soup from the pot in which it's in to a bowl, let's say, the bowl is called Keli Shein. The pot is Keli Rishon, it's been on the fire, the bowl is Keli Shein. And there's certain more lenient halachas attached to Keli Shein, which we things that we cannot do in the Keli Rishon, which we can do in the Keli Shein.
The ladle is not the Keli Shein.
Oh, now what is the din of the ladle? The ladle is a little different to the average Keli Shein. The average Keli Shein has never been immersed in the Keli Rishon. The average Keli Sheni, the most classic case would be you take the pot, you pour from the pot into the bowl, and now your soup is in the bowl. That's a classic Keli Sheni. Now what is the din of a ladle? So, there's a lot of discussion in Plisti what the din is of a ladle, some say like this, some say like that. Certainly, if you leave it in the Keli Rishon for a long time, until it becomes boiling hot, like the Keli Rishon, then many say, certainly it's made from metal. Many say that it has the din of a Keli Rishon. Okay, so having said that, says the Egli Tal, a wild, fantastic idea. Because you know what? what are you going to say to me? The Chamitav area up there in Tiberia. What would be if we could get this water from the Chamitav area to Yerushalayim? It will cool down. So you what? I'll tell you what, you'll put it in a thermos. But you'll tell me, normally, the thermos is going to be a Kedisheni. Kedisheni anywhere, halachically, is not the Vashon, so the whole sugya doesn't start. So he says, if you immerse your thermos in the Chamitav area for a long time, till it gets very hot, and you bring it to Yerushalayim, then that water has a din of Keli Rishon. But it's Chamitav area. It's Keli Rishon and Chamitav area. So then we could discuss what would be the din if you'll cook your Korban Pesach in that water. Wow.
The thermos says an inside part, an outside part.
Yeah, he doesn't say thermos. Well, that's my modern day. He just says you take a metal keli, you take the metal keli out,
right,
and you wrap it up. You do what we call hatmana. You wrap it up in insulating material.
I see.
So it's actually very hot until it arrives.
I think scientifically it probably wouldn't work, especially the challenge you take.
How do you think it's different to Tiberias in Jerusalem?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting theory.
Yeah. Let's just take a look, a drop further, this general concept of different forms of bishul. So why indeed, let's now go back, how are we going to have this practical application of this idea of cooking the Korban Pesach in the Chamitav area? Now why indeed are these forms of bishul not called bishul in Torah terms, don't classically qualify for bishul? So there is a Rashi in Maseches Shabbos where the Gemara talks about a similar concept. The Gemara puts these various different concepts in the same one bracket. The Gemara talks about cooking something in the sun, directly from the heat of the sun, and the Gemara says that there too there's no bishul deraisa. And Rashi says ein derech bishuloi bekas. This isn't the normal way of bishul. It's not the derech. Ein derech bishuloi bekas. This is not the normal way of bishul. And since it's not the normal way of bishul, it does not qualify for bishul deraisa. Rabbi Chanan points out in his Sefer Kovetz Shiurim, there is a concept of kelach hayat, something which does that in an unusual fashion, which we generally find spoken about generally in Hilchos Shabbos. In Hilchos Shabbos we find that there's types of kelach hayat that make things more linear. Sometimes it's generally drabbon, occasionally a type of kelach hayat that could be mutter. We don't generally find it so much in Kol HaTorah Kulo. Now Rabbi Chanan points out that these types of Bishul Shalei Kedarko, Chama and Chamitav area, which the Gemara puts there in the same one bracket, are not only not considered Bishul as regards Shabbos, they're also not considered Bishul as regards Korban Pesach, as we've seen. So this type of Ein Derech is obviously the sort of Ein Derech which is considered not the derech and affects shame bishul in Kol HaTorah Kulo. Is enough, not the derech, not just a Hilchos Shabbos concept, it's a Kol HaTorah Kulo concept. And he points out that we do find types of shaloi kederech in other inyonim of the Torah too. For example, there's a concept called achila shaloi kedarko. If we eat something, a forbidden food, in a way that it's become very bitter or not usual to eat it in that way, and it could be just an Issa Drabonon sometimes. There's Achimah Shalei Kedarko, not Shalei Kedarko. So he said this type of Bishul is Shalei Kedarko, it's Bishul Shalei Kedarko, and it does not qualify for Shein Bishul, at least Min HaTorah. Now let's just look at one further Shaila. What will be if one will take one of these forms of Bishul, which do not have their source in H, and it would become usual to cook in that fashion. So for example, I think these types of things are becoming very common nowadays, and it's a very relevant China. What will be cooking in a microwave oven. Now I'm not saying Khalil or Khaswashalam, anybody should cook in a microwave oven on Shabbos. There can be all sorts of other issurim involved, the electricity of opening it and the light and the But the actual bishul, is it called bishul deraisa or bishul drabonon, maybe even less than that? Or do we say that if it becomes common and accepted practice to cook in a microwave oven, although its source is not H, there's no H there, but it's now derech. So maybe it becomes now even a bishul deraisa. This point is a machlokes between gedolei hapesukim of our times. But Moshe Feinstein writes that anything that becomes derech, and he mentions specifically the example of the microwave, says if it becomes derech, then it becomes an issur deraisa. And Rav Shlomo Zalman in his Tshuvos, he appears to be chiluk on this, and he understands that this is like a fixed concept. The derech bishul, the classic way of bishul, is using fire. All other ways of bishul are unusual ways. It doesn't have to do with whether we do a survey, whether people like to do this or they don't like to do this. This is not the classic form of bishul, and it is considered a derech. And that we think about establishing something that isn't eish is not visual, then our Torah remains whatever other social changes might take place.